All right, good morning again. If you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and when you find your place there, if you would stand, if you're able to stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to start in verse 16. Matthew 7, starting in verse 16. Says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, and I pray, Father, thanking you for every opportunity you give me to preach your word. And I pray, Father, that we've come prepared to hear from you, as this message is from you. I just get to be the deliverer, and we thank you for what you're going to accomplish today. I pray, Father, that you would give me boldness to proclaim your word, that you would give me the very words to preach. And I pray, Father, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts open to receive your word with gladness. For it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice here in this text that God tells us that there will be many, didn't say few, there will be many who think that they are saved, and it turns out that one day at the judgment he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. It's going to be a sad day, isn't it? I can't imagine what it's going to be like for them, thinking that they've walked through this life thinking that they were saved. Notice that they say, many have done many good works, right? I get a little upset with these preachers that get in the pulpit and say, you've got to work your way to heaven. No, you don't. You can't work your way to heaven. There's not enough good deeds that we could do that would earn us a place in heaven. We have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. It's what he did, not what we do. It's what he did. He's already finished it. I like on the cross when he was up there, he said, it is finished. Nothing has to be added to it. Nothing needs to be taken away from it. It is finished. Praise the Lord for salvation in Jesus Christ. He says, ye that work iniquity, they're banking on their good works. And he says, ye that work iniquity. Obviously, their good works aren't good enough. Or he wouldn't say, ye that work iniquity. He says this because the greatest sin a person can commit is a rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, when we go out and we knock doors and we talk to people and we run into people out in the streets and whatever, and we're talking to them and they say, I hope I've done enough good works. Wrong answer. The only right answer is I'm trusting in what the Lord Jesus Christ has already done for salvation. What he has done is enough. We couldn't add to it if we wanted to. Thank God we don't need to. I've often thought, can you imagine what it'd be like? You accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you commit one sin and step out off the curb and get killed by a car running you over, and you've gone to hell because you lost your salvation because you didn't have time to repent of that one sin again. That's craziness. God would never do that to us. In fact, the Bible says he loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his very best so that we could have salvation in him. Too many are trusting in their own good works. He lovingly forgives every sin we commit. Lovingly. Because he loves us so much that he does that. The one sin he will not forgive is the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ here to lay down his life and take it up again, that we could have eternal life. He's the one that made the way that we could be reconciled. He knew, and this is something that just boggles my mind, he knew before the foundation of the world that man, after he created man would sin, rejecting what God told him and go his own way, sin against Almighty God. And God said, even though I know that's going to take place, I'm going to create a way that man can be reconciled back to me. Boy, he really loves us, doesn't he? He loves us so much, he wants us to have a relationship with him, and we can only have that through the Lord Jesus Christ. People are going to go to a Christless eternity because they reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I remember knocking doors one day and the man says, I don't need that. I said, but you do. You just don't realize it. Knowing where he's headed breaks my heart. And it should break our hearts when we know that there's people who are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing where they're going to spend eternity. It should weigh heavy on our hearts. In John 5:40 it says, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Jesus is saying, they won't come to him that they might have life. I thank God that salvation is so easy. Now, I'm not talking easy believism and all that. I'm talking it's easy to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's not difficult. Even little children can. And by the way, I got a message from Brother Brett Swope up in Canada. That's a church plant out of here, for those who don't know. His little son Andrew got saved this last week. Praise the Lord. Been praying for Andrew that he would get saved, and praise the Lord, he got saved this last week. They're having a baptism today. They've got three going to be baptized up there today. Three came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and want to be added unto the church through baptism. He's got one young lady who's on the fence about it at the moment. He's going to see if she might come to the realization that she needs Jesus before the baptism service, and they may have four. What a blessing. What a blessing. But three. And then a huge blessing for the parents up there, right? Brother Brett, Miss Diana, saying their last child come to know Christ as Savior. What a blessing. those who do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life, they're going to perish. They're going to spend eternity in a place called hell. Well, eventually the lake of fire, but they're going to go to hell once they die here and eventually be cast to the lake of fire for all eternity. Can't think of anything more horrifying. Let me just say this. The Bible talks a whole lot more about hell than it does about heaven. God wants us to know how bad it's going to be there. In fact, the Bible says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And people joke about going there. It's no joke. They're going to face the reality of it one day if they don't repent and get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. But a horrifying thing to go through life thinking that you're saved and finding out when it's too late that you're not. Can't imagine. Can't imagine thinking that you're going to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Find out that instead you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, which, by the way, was created for the devil and his angels. How about anything more horrifying than to know that you've had chance after chance after chance to get saved, and then find out there are no more chances? Can't imagine how bad that must be to go through that. The reason this passage of Scripture is so alarming is, just suppose that you might be one of those that the Lord is speaking of. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that in this passage of Scripture, the Lord's talking about those who thought they were saved, went through the motions, right? And then find out they weren't. I mentioned, I think it was a week before last, that our son-in-law got saved. We thought he was. He thought he was. God dealt with him. Praise the Lord. Gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. He, praise the Lord, got that settled. He knows for sure he's on his way to heaven now. But he and our daughter have been married 21 years. That whole time she thought he was saved. Went through the motions. They go to church. See, you can go to church and still not be saved. Praise the Lord, he got saved. There's many that can sing with the congregation when we all get to heaven, right? And be lost. I've often said, when we sing the hymns, we should be paying attention to the words. Sometimes I think people just sing whatever's on the page and don't really think about it. But we need to think about what that says. We can have our name in the church membership rolls. We can attend church regularly. All these things can happen, right? You can even have a position of leadership in a church. I've known people that told me about a pastor who got saved during a revival meeting. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Can you imagine the whole church and how shocked they are when the pastor gets saved? You can faithfully support God's church with His tithes. Notice I didn't say our tithes, His tithes. It all belongs to Him anyway. So we give His tithes back to Him. And we can faithfully do that and still be lost. We can invite friends and relatives and co-workers and all to church. we can do many wonderful works and still be lost. Can you imagine going through all this stuff and that judgment day the Lord says, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Wow. All because we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. Today we have a lot of boasting. But when we get to heaven, there won't be any boasting, right? We're going to realize it was all about Him, not about us. Today, we boast quite a bit. And I like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, especially verse 9 when he says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Because God knew that if it was all about us, if our salvation depended on us, we'd be running around strutting our stuff telling people how great we are. When what we're supposed to be doing is telling people how great our God is. So how can we know we're a child of God? How can you know for sure? First of all, to know that you've been saved, there has to be a conversion. Has to have been a change in your life, right? There had to be a time when there was a change. We were going one direction and we're now going a different direction. We were following after Satan. People go, "Well, I don't follow Satan." Hey, folks, you either follow Satan or God. That's the choices. So if you're not following God, you're following Satan. Is that clear? The Bible makes it very clear. But there had to be a conversion. We have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to realize who He is and what He did, who we are, and what we've done. See, we're just sinful men. He's Almighty God. The sinless Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God loved us so much, He wants this conversion to take place in our lives. There has to be a conversion. You see, those who are saved, we didn't always love the Lord. We didn't. In fact, until we became a child of God, until we got to that point where we became converted, we were enmity with God. We were enemies of God. I like the idea as a young boy. I always thought it was interesting when the teacher would say, "You sit next to her." And I thought, "Are you kidding me? Why would I want to sit next to her? That's a girl, right?" Nobody wants to sit next to girls, right? I mean, that's just crazy. Why would you do that? And then all of a sudden, as time went on, it was like, hey, that's not so bad sitting next to girls, right? I'm right, aren't I? Especially you guys that are married now, you know, right? We get to the point where, wow, this isn't so bad. I'd like to sit next to her all the time, right? What happened? We say that these boys got bit by the love bug, right? Now all of a sudden, girls aren't so bad. And then we end up married, right? Because God's given us that right one. Notice I didn't say we went out searching the internet for the right one. God brought the right one to us. And thank God for a godly spouse. Thank God for my wife. Looking forward to almost 43 years here. It's coming up. Praise the Lord. But these young boys, right, without ever knowing anything about love, without ever being in love, without having a course of love in class or anything, or reading a book about love, all of a sudden they're an expert on it, right? Now, that's not true, obviously. They think they know everything, but they know very little. In fact, they go from one to the other, right? This week I'm in love with this one, that week I'm in love with the other one, and it just changes all the time. Sometimes I think it's men look for a wife like they look for a car. Well, I'll keep this one till something better comes along, right? That's because they don't do it God's way. Wait and let God bring the right person along. And He will. You can ask the average man on the street if they love the Lord. Of course I do. Doesn't everybody? And the answer is no, everybody doesn't. What do you mean everybody doesn't love the Lord? Trust me, not every. If you ever want to find out if people love the Lord or not, go knock some doors. Try to hand out a tract, John and Romans. You'll find out how many people out there do not love the Lord. And it's amazing. But the thing that's most amazing to me is when they tell me they go to church and they're upset that I'm handing them a tract. Folks, I don't have a problem with people handing me a tract if they go to church. I think, wow, it's nice to see people are out doing this. Now, of course, I'm talking about a biblical tract. I'm not talking about the garbage that's floating around out there. I'm talking about biblical tracts. Somebody comes to me and hands me one. I'm thrilled. Praise the Lord. People are out trying to get people to come to church and get saved and all. There's a lot of people out there that say they love the Lord, but do they really? Do they really love the Lord? The Scripture tells us how we can know for sure if they love the Lord, right? It's very clear. The Lord told us that if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. So there'd be evidence that we love the Lord if we're keeping His commandments. The problem is, when it comes to love, many people grow up in homes where love is never mentioned. It's never shown. They heard the word hate frequently in the home, but they never heard the word love. They never saw any affection like kissing and hugging in the home. They grow up in a society that tells them that love is something that it's not. They get to a certain age and they get married and they don't know the first thing about love. And the same thing happens to people spiritually. They go to church and they hear people talk about how much they love the Lord and all, and they don't live any differently than lost people. And they question, what is this? What is this thing about loving the Lord that everybody says they do, but there's not as many that actually live it? God does not want people to be confused about love. He wants us to know. If we love Him, the proof is that we are keeping His commandments. What are some of the areas of life that will be affected by obedience to His commandments? Our relationship with the Lord started off with a love gift, right? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. I mean, even lost people know that verse. They don't understand it, but they know it. if we don't love the Lord, it's obvious that there's never been a conversion in our life. You say, well, I'd be saved and not love the Lord. How can you do that? He has done so much for us. How could we be saved and not love Him? Not be thankful for what He's done for us? Something very mysterious happens at conversion. We no longer have to be begged to go to church. Isn't it interesting? We don't have to be begged to go to church anymore. We want to, right? This morning, how many people are excited to be here, right? Praise the Lord. I get up on Sunday morning, I think, I get to go to church. Wonder how many got up this morning and said, oh, I have to go to church again. That's not excited about church, by the way. Excited is I get to go. I get to be in God's house. I get to meet with the Lord on His day. Instead of, oh man, really? Another Sunday? Yeah, the Lord's day. Go figure. So we no longer have to be begged to go to church. We no longer have to be begged to pray or read our Bible. We want to do these things now because we love the Lord. And all these desires come after conversion. At conversion, we come to realize life is not worth living without Him. I don't know how people do it without Him. I mean, I get that I used to, right? But once I got saved, now it's hard to believe what it's like without Him, because He's there to get us through the good times and the bad times. At conversion, we gave the Lord Jesus Christ our heart and our life. When you find a person who loves to give, you find a person who knows something about love. The reason why is because love always wants to give. Always. That's why I tell people, you want to get married? You have to give 100%, and they have to give 100%, because if everybody's giving, then nobody's taking. See, if somebody's taking all the time and the other one's giving, somebody's feeling shorted. But if you're both giving 100% all the time, nobody's being shorted. God loves us so much. He gave His life for us. We need to give our life for Him. We can know we're saved because I came to know Him and love Him. I've been converted, right? If you're not willing to forsake the gods of this world, there's a problem. There's a problem. If we won't forsake the gods of this world, then we've not been converted to Him. Again, God's Word says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you say, well, I keep the Ten Commandments, most of us can't even name them, let alone keep them. How do I know? Because people tell me, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments, therefore I know I'm saved. My next question is, then name them. And then you get the deer in the headlights look. And how can you keep something you can't even name? The truth of the matter is they can't. And the truth of the matter is the Ten Commandments would not save us. Excuse me. They were given as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. to show us we needed a Savior. Look over at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Again, people will die and go to a Christless eternity because they will not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They will not be converted. When there is love, there is a conversion. Then number two, there will be a change. There will be a change. Three big changes in our life. First one is, got married. Life will never be the same. Never be the same. We have children. Let me tell you, life will never be the same once you have children. Then when we're converted, when we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, our life will never be the same. God's command is to come unto Him with your sins and be converted. Once you're converted, there will be a change. There will be a change in your life. A drastic change will never be the same. If there's no drastic change in your life, it's because you weren't converted. Should be a drastic change. We were hooked up with the devil, but we weren't happy with that relationship. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 13:15, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard." We become acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a change of heart. Change of heart. Holy Spirit speaks to our heart and shows us things. He shows us our sin, shows us our destination, and He shows us the Savior. We repent of our sins. The Bible tells us if we repent of our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ will save us. We become born again. We have a change of heart. Notice that it starts with a conjunction, if ye love me. I always like that little word, if. Because God knows some won't. So if ye love me, keep my commandments. He's basically saying, don't go around telling people that you love the Lord if you're not willing to obey Him. Because according to His Word, if we're not obeying Him, we don't love Him. People get on their knees and pray and tell God that they love them, when in actuality, He knows that they don't. See, God can see our hearts. He knows if it's lip service or if we're truly telling Him what's in our heart. There's some major changes that take place when there's conversion. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Our life after conversion has no similarity to what it was before. We became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Bears no similarity to our old life. There's a problem with some who claim to love the Lord. Problem is, there's no change. There's no conversion. Doesn't matter that they claim to be born again. As I mentioned earlier, our son-in-law said he was saved. before he asked for our daughter's hand in marriage, he said he was saved. He belonged to a church. He'd been baptized. All those things didn't matter because there was no conversion. Doesn't matter how many churches you've joined. Doesn't matter how much you give to the church. It doesn't even matter if you've attended church your whole life. Doesn't matter that your parents are saved. It doesn't even matter how talented you might be. And some might say, you have no right to judge them. And you're right, I don't judge them. They're judged by the Word of God. It's God's Word that says they're not converted. There has to be a change. Thank God that it's not up to me to determine, but it's up to God who sees every man's heart. The Lord says, if somebody's truly converted, there will be a change. Before we were born again, we didn't obey Him. In fact, we didn't want anything to do with Him. Our life revealed back then that we hated Him. That we didn't want anything to do with Him. We did things that hurt Him. We listened to those jokes about the Lord Jesus Christ and laughed at them. We thought they were funny. We stayed out of church knowing that we could have a good excuse not to have to go, right? We did things that we knew would break His heart. We refused to come to church no matter how hard believers in Jesus Christ tried to beg us to attend. We'd make time for the things of this world, but we'd never make time for God. But once we were converted, there was a change in our lives. Today, nobody has to beg us to go to church. They don't have to beg us to give financially to the Lord's work. They don't have to beg us to live a holy life. We want to, because we love Him. Some will say, Pastor, you're preaching salvation by works. No, I'm not. I'm just preaching basically what James said. Turn over to James chapter 2. Look at 17 and 18 of James chapter 2. It says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So I don't work to be saved. I work because I love Him. I do what I do as out of love for the Savior. I don't feel like I have to. I feel like I want to. It's like I said, when I got up this morning, it's Sunday, I get to go to church. I get to serve the Lord. It's all in the attitude. We get up and we think, oh, I have to serve the Lord. Don't. He knows the attitude. There's no sense in serving Him if you don't want to. We do it because we love Him. Those who have never been converted, they've never had a change in their life. The more we serve the Lord, the more we love the Lord. It's amazing. The more we come to know about Him, the more we love Him. The more you spend time with Him, the more you love Him. And the more you want to obey Him. And number three, there will be communication. One of the ways you know you were converted, you enjoy talking to God throughout the day. Prayer is not an obligation. It's about loving the Lord and talking to Him, spending time with Him. If you love someone, there's going to be communication there. Tell people, one of the biggest problems in marriages today is lack of communication. I got news for you. If you don't ever talk, you're going to have a problem. The Lord wants us to communicate with Him. He wants to hear from us. I've had people say, He knows everything anyway. Why do we need to? Because He wants to hear from us. Tell you what, if there's someone you love and you never talk to them, they're going to ask you, what's wrong? Why won't you talk to me? Well, the Lord wants us to talk to Him. God wants a relationship with us. There's something wrong with a person if they never talk to God and yet they say they're saved. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll talk to me. He said, well, where's that? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where it says, pray without ceasing. We'll have that communication with God if we love Him. And not just our laundry list of things we want Him to take care of in our life, right? Just spend some time with Him. Tell Him what's going on in your life. We do well with the laundry list, right? Here, Lord, take care of this. And Tuesday at 3 o'clock would be nice if you could get that done by then, right? We're really good at those kind of prayers. But how about just telling Him how your day's going? How about just thanking Him for, different things? We were headed out this morning to come to church. And I'd seen the train stopped as I'm coming up to the street to turn on to go across the tracks. And I thought, oh no, the arms are down and the lights are flashing. I said, that train stopped. It's going to be a while. And then the arms went back up. I said, praise the Lord. Started across the tracks and the lights came back on again and the arms started coming down. Then I was really praising Him that we made it safely across them. Because I was already on them when they started coming down again. I was like, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know you can talk to God every single day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. He wants to hear from us. Yeah, I'll tell you what, you call me in the middle of the night just to say hi, we're probably going to have a problem. But you talk to God in the middle of the night, and there's no problem at all. Now, if it's an emergency, that's another story, right? I've had those emergency calls in the middle of the night. I don't have a problem with that. But don't call just to see how I'm doing or to say hi at 2 a.m., probably not a good time, right? He wants to talk to us. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants to hear from us continually throughout our day. He wants to hear us tell Him that we love Him. Everyone loves to hear the words, I love you, right? Tell you, people who are married love to hear, I love you. Parents love to hear it. Grandparents love to hear it. God loves to hear it throughout our day. He wants to know that we love Him. And let me just say, don't tell Him you love Him if you're not going to keep His commandments. Throughout the day, we need to tell Him that we're trusting in Him. Trusting in Him. Look at 1 John 5:14. This will be our last verse today for this morning. First John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." We live throughout the day, and we put our trust in different things, in ourselves, in others, in God. We need to tell him throughout the day, "Lord, I am trusting you." You. God wants us to trust him. And he wants us to tell him that we're trusting him continually. And the reason for that is because it's reminding ourselves to trust him. Throughout the day, we need to trust him for ourselves and for others. If I love the Lord, I will communicate with him and pray without ceasing. Because I'm saved, I love him, there's going to be a conversion, there's going to be a change, and there will be communication. We can know that we're saved because these are the things God commands us to do if we love him. That little word, if. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can know for sure that we have eternal life. We don't have to guess. We don't have to hope so. We can know for sure. And there's going to be some evidences of it in our lives. We'll love you. We'll serve you. We'll communicate with you. We'll keep your commandments. Father, this morning, as always, if there's someone in our midst who's never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be the day. Father, it's my heart's desire that none would perish and end up in an eternity in a place called the Lake of Fire. Father, for those of us who have been saved, are we living like we love you? Are we keeping your commandments? If not, we need to get that right. So as we have a time of invitation, we'll turn it over to you, Lord, for it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able to stand. This morning, as we have this time of silence, if you need to come, you come. God spoke to us. Does he want to hear from us?